Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
You know, my mom always used to say, God works in mysterious ways, and I truly believe that. So when I started this journey of Dream Big Radio on Empower Radio, I didn't know where it was going, or I didn't know what I was doing. That is for sure. Talk about blind faith. But I think, and I know that, the universe and God have a huge plan. And that plan for me on my first show was to have probably hopefully my other guests aren't listening, my favorite guest. I just loved her energy, and she made me feel, she didn't know it, but she made me feel safe. And we joked about it later, I think even on air, that yes, she did pop my radio cherry. So I don't know, for all of you that we may have offended, I'm sorry, but I just love that because it was true and you told me I was good and that made me feel good. Linda Lexi, welcome back. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Jill. I'm so grateful. It's always great to get to increase the good energy with you, always.
Oh, well, you've done that so many times. I mean, even last year when I won a Detroit Music Award, or 2 years ago, I grabbed you and had you come up on stage with me to accept my award. And you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, just go with it.
I know.
But it was
Everybody's
awesome.
Looking at me like, what? Why is she going up there with her?
Because she's my friend. She's my friend.
Yay,
so,
friend.
Yes. So, you know, we've had, you know, I was doing another show about, you know, looking at the past year. And I always tell people, you know, I think for the most part, I am a look forward kind of person, but I think it's really important to reflect. And as we come to the end of 2019, or any year for that matter, I guess I've learned this year more than ever to really reflect on my behavior, and in yeah. that, knowing my part in things, looking at mistakes, not to make myself feel guilty, but to look at things and learn from them. What's your feeling on that in regard to looking back?
I think that what you just said, Jill, is so profoundly perfect and on point, because what is the point of life experience if not to have us reflect and improve? And we can't improve until we reflect. And like you said, not in a way of condemnation. And this is something that I talk about with people a lot, about the difference between conviction and condemnation. When we feel condemned and beat down about something, there's no value to that. But when we feel convicted, where we go, aha, there was a way that in the future I can apply that, and each lesson has within it the opportunity for application for something more and something bigger and within us and in the world as a whole. And we can't get to that without those reflections. So I agree with you 100%.
So maybe, you know, it just dawned on me, maybe that's why we make mistakes.
You
know,
it is
a growth thing. Now, you know, one of the things I want to talk to you today about is something that's truly inspired me that you have done. And I think that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but, you know, you were doing yoga and you were doing all these incredible things. And I think you might have had an injury or something. And so you instead started walking. Is that correct? Mm. Is that what happened?
Well, it was actually a life experience that prompted the walking. I still continue to do my practice and I always will do that. But mm-hmm. I had encountered a situation in life that kind of knocked me for a loop, as things happen. And going quickly to what you were just saying about making mistakes in order to grow, I think it's interesting that we even apply the word mistake as if we are intended to be mistake-free. I don't see how that's possible for things to evolve and grow. So I had encountered a situation that kind of came out of left field that was challenging and hurtful, as many of us go through. And so I thought, how am I going to respond to this? Mm-hmm. And I had my grandson, Carter, here for his summer visit, and he watches me intently. He's my little spirit. And he knew it was a hurtful thing to me, and he saw me respond with positivity, and I said, obviously, there's more love needed in this world, so I have to go out into it and bring some with me. And even in a small way, whatever way, it all matters. Love is large, no matter how we want to quantify it. And so I took him with me on the first. I said, I'm going to call this my love walk. And I went out and started observing the world around me deeper, became more connected to things, started saying hi to people, dancing in the streets, and all of those sort of things, just to kind of increase that energy. And in the process, I really found something that that became part of me and part of my journey, and something that now is I can't live without. And as a consequence, throughout all the love walks since, it's incredible, Jill, how many things I've encountered and how many people and how many opportunities I've had to touch a life or help someone. And in the process, that also helps me, as is true for all of us.
Well, and I think you brought tears to my eyes for sure. But, you know, a light bulb went off when you were talking is, you know, that's could be, you know, we referred to them as mistakes, but they're actually, now that I'm thinking and looking back and even things I've experienced or seen other people experience, is that the universe and God are putting those in our way so that it forces us, and you do have a choice. You do have free will, but you have a choice to, you know, I'm talking in one of my last shows about how I did this show and I forgot lyrics. Okay. It doesn't sound like a big deal to other people, but it was huge to me because I'm a professional and I was mm-hmm. embarrassed and I was hurt and I was like, why did this happen? And grand scheme of things, no, it's not a big deal. But, the next day I realized that it wasn't about the lyrics. It's how I make people feel. And had that not happened, and I didn't beat myself up for 24 hours, I turned it around and, you know, I did. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I got down on my knees and prayed and asked God to relieve this stress from me. But the point was, is that I feel like we go through hell to get on the other side. And when we get on the other side, the recognition of what we are able to overcome and be better for. And you Amen. Just explained that. Like, here you went through something and it sounded, you know, very stressful and distress, you know, and some people will succumb to that. Now, that doesn't make that person weak. It's just, it's a choice. And sometimes you don't have the energy to not let it get to you. But eventually you can. And what can come out on the other side? You know, for example, I, you know, do a lot of benefits. And one of the benefits I did was for a family who lost their son to someone, an automobile accident, because someone was texting and hit him head on and killed him. And obviously they're destroyed. And obviously their life will never be the same. Mm-hmm. But with that, they have, you know, started a nonprofit and brought awareness of texting. I got to tell you, every time I think about texting, I think about them and I think they saved my life, you know?
And that's the point.
Right. And so I know, can you tell me, there was one walk that happened and you had posted about it, and it was something that's, I can't remember, something about a man or a person that wasn't doing well and you like took care of him. I don't know if you can go in depth with that, but could you tell us a little bit about it anyway?
Oh, one of the most profound experiences of my life. And I've been fortunate to be blessed by God to have many of those opportunities. It's just the awareness. And we had that real severe snowstorm a few weeks ago where we got like 11 inches dumped on us. And it was a historical snowfall for the state of Michigan, the earliest snowfall on record, the heaviest snowfall, et cetera. And I believe that was on a Monday. And that night, that evening, I went to my Pilates class, which was kind of cool because the roads were terrible and people still powered through. And it was kind of a spiritual thing. We all showed up and did it together. And then I went home that night and I should have been exhausted, and I could not sleep. And this happens to me often. And I couldn't sleep, and I was wide awake, and I kept thinking about gratitude. It just kept pouring over me, this thought of gratitude. And so about 3:30 in the morning, as is also typical in my life, I got up. I said, okay, God. I went downstairs, and I put up a post about gratitude. And then I went back to bed. Well, I didn't sleep, and I was exhausted. And the next day I had a Bikram class scheduled, which is 90 minutes in 105 degrees. And so you kind of have to be you have to be rested. And
a little bit.
So I decided that day, I was like, well, you know, it requires that of me. So I'm just going to sit this dance out because I'm exhausted. And as I was sitting there, I looked outside. It was 23 degrees with a wind chill of whatever. And I just, God put over me, go for a walk. And I was like, really? Okay. You know, there's 11 inches of snow. The roads weren't all plowed and it was bitter. So I put on my snow pants and listened to them and bundled up. And out I went for a love walk. And I had my music playing, as you've witnessed me in the street at one point.
It was so awesome. You literally looked like you were flying off the ground. It was so crazy. It was beautiful.
So I'm walking along and I never really have a plan. I just turn down this corner, that corner, and I usually go about 90 minutes or so. I spend quite a amount of time out there. And as I'm walking along, there's pretty much nobody on the street but me. And I come around this corner as I'm thinking I'm going to head toward home. I had been out there a while, just enjoying my solitude and connection. And I start to cross this street at a light, and I see this young man just standing there. And he's in slush and snow, literally up his shins. He's got on just a thin jacket, wide open. He's wearing like loafer type shoes, no gloves, and he's not moving. And I see cars trying to go around him, and he's just standing there. It just didn't seem like he even knew where he was or who he was or anything. Well, I walk past him, and I'm looking at him, and I wasn't sure what the situation was. And as I got a few feet from him, I felt that spiritual nudge, stop and pay attention. So I turned around and looked at him, and my heart just became overwhelmed with this compassion. There's something wrong. And so I pulled my headphones down and I said, hey, can I help you? And he didn't really respond. He just kind of looked at me blankly. And I said, are you okay? Can I help you? And again, no response. So I just walked over to him and I grabbed his hand and I said, take my hand. I'm not leaving you.
Oh my
we're
God.
In this right now. So we're at a light, and I said, where do you live? Where are you going? Nothing, Jill. He didn't know. He didn't know where he was going, and who he was, for that matter. Mm. And he would not have survived where he was. He was in rough shape. His hands were purple, and he was soaked. And he had this bag clutched in his left hand that he wouldn't let go of. And so I knew there was a deep emergency here. So I looked at him at one point, the light was getting ready to change. I said, well, I hope that you trained for the Free Press Marathon, which was the week before, because we have to get through this light. And it caught him for a minute. And he looked at me, Jill, with this look in his eyes toward me, like almost like I was an angel, you know, which is a humbling thing to say, but that was his eyes.
Yes.
And he kind of laughed like, huh? and then him and I shuffle across the street. We were together a good half hour where we traveled about 50 feet. And he said the name of a street. Mm-hmm. I said, well, where is it? I've walked all over this town. I don't know where that street is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking it up on my phone. I can't find nothing. I even punched Siri and it tells me the street, but it doesn't tell me which direction. So, oh, great. Here's me and my buddy. And I'm holding on to his arm. And I said, give me that bag. I promise I'm not going to take it from you. I had to literally pry it out of his hands. I go, get your hands in your pockets. Mm-hmm. You're freezing.
Right.
You're freezing. You're going to get frostbite. I think he already had it at that point.
Right.
And, so I'm asking him questions about where he lives. I'm getting nowhere. I said, do you have a phone? Do you have an ID? He's shaking his head. No. He pulls this phone out of his pocket, which was a flip phone that was literally taped together. And then he shakes his head no and puts it back in his pocket. In the meantime, I see an elderly couple coming toward me and going to a car. And I said, do you know where such and such street is? And they're looking at him and I, we must have looked like a pair, you know, this 6 foot pink haired lady, you know, holding on to this little green haired kid, you know, that's barely dressed in the cold. And they're reluctantly looking like, we don't know where it is. And they said, maybe you can ask them. And there was a couple of police officers pulling up in the car. And so I'm waving the cop down, and they're looking at me like, you know, what is going on here? And who are these two? And so I said, can you please help us? We're looking for such and such street. And they said, well, yeah, it's that way. And I said, well, I'm trying to get him home to impress on them that there was an issue.
Right.
And the cop picked up on it, the one that jumped out of the car. And he said, you mean you don't know him? And I said, no. And the kid goes, the cops? And I held on to him, Jill, with all my might. And I looked at the cops, and I could feel the tears streaming down my face.
Right.
And I said, they're not going to hurt you, right? They're going to help you. And I'm looking at the cop, right? You're going to help him. And the cop's looking at this kid. And I saw the compassion come over the officers, too. So I think we were all getting something we needed there.
Mm.
And he said, buddy, you can't be out here like this. I'm trying not to sob. And the cop said, we're going to get you home. Don't worry. Just get in the car. And I said, they're going to get you home. Don't worry. And the police officer asked him, what's your name? And I said, yeah, what's your name? And he almost proudly in that moment blurted out his name.
Oh, my God. Really?
And so, yeah. And so I reached out, and the cops were taking him, putting him in the car to take him away. And I said, wait a minute. And I put my arms around him, and I hugged him.
Oh.
And I was bawling. And I said, God loves you. I said, you're going to be okay. God loves you. Just be well in your life, and you're loved. And so they put him in the car, and the other police officer that was in the car, he rolled this window down, and they're waving at me, and I'm waving and crying, you know, and off they went. And all the way, the rest of my walk home, I was just like, I was in another world. I was so elevated and numb and all of these things, but I know I was out there for him.
Right.
God knew he was going to be out there in trouble. And what crazy person could he send out, Jill, that day but me?
Well, it exactly. And you know, I always say at every show, I say angels come in all forms. And while I'm talking to people at first to say there's angels out there for you, what I also say is you're an angel for someone else. And we don't know, you know, if we stay open enough to hear, and you did,
yep.
Like you could have, it was freaking crazy that day. I remember that snow day. Remy's crying, by the way. You've got Remy just in tears, and I was in tears too. But the point is that when we remove ourselves from, and I think that's, it's so important, because life can seem so intense. We can get caught up in the most incredible things that are truly just distractions. They are distractions from what our purpose is supposed to be. And you,
especially nowadays,
it's more than ever. And I don't know if I'm like, am I becoming like an old lady and like one of those things where life is just crazy? But it's just, I have to constantly stop myself and say, what are you focusing on? Stop. It is draining you of all the things that you're supposed to be. And I think that's one of the things for me being on stage is my go-to, because I feel like there I can give all of the light I'm supposed to give. And when I get back off the stage, it's like, oh, I feel like I get hit with all of this crazy stuff that is not important at the end of the day.
Amen.
Yeah. And
you know what, Jill? Here's the thing that I think. I think that, you know, we separate ourselves from God, and we view God in this greater light of truth and all encompassing and light. And that's exactly what he is. But what we fail to recognize is that we are all an individualized expression of him.
Yes, absolutely.
We're an individual expression of that light and that truth. So there is a mission for everybody.
Yeah.
In every moment.
So many people say to me, well, I can't do mission work like you. I'm like, you don't have to go to Haiti. You don't have to go to a third world country. You can walk like I did today. I walked in and said hello to every single person that would look up to see me. And I gave them huge smiles. That alone could change someone's life. So many people are alone in this world. So many
Amen.
People don't have people to hold their hand, don't have physical touch. And it's so important that a little free thing of a smile and just shooting them light, or a conversation about nothing. How's your day? I like your shirt. Pretty earrings. Those kind of things that all of a sudden they bring people present because they're lost in their head just as much. That man that you met, by the way, I would love if you were my guardian angel. if you were my guardian angel, I would adore that. I always wonder who my angel is, because I can hear them, I can feel them, and I know they're around, but I'm always like, I wonder what they look like, you know. And it would be so awesome to have you, especially, you know, you're 6 foot and you walk up to this guy with pink hair, you've got pink hair, and you're like, hi. And he's probably like, am I dreaming? You know, somebody reached up. Yeah. And you touched his hand. You physically grabbed his hand.
I did.
You know, and it's.
He needed that hand grab. He needed somebody to hold him and hold his hand and let him know he had value. Because even in his out of it state, he was devaluing himself somehow. But he had these big, huge eyes. And he just, you know, and I'm a mother. And I'm a grandmother, and our young people are just under so much stress beyond what we can imagine. And I just wanted him to feel valued. I don't know. I was out of my own body in that moment, and just letting myself be taken over by God and by all that's right. And to just be there, I couldn't have left him if I tried.
Right. And I think too that we live. I say this all the time at my shows, is that we live in a very connected world, but a desensitized world. And while,
desensitized, yeah, all of that.
Yeah. And while we, can see what everyone else is supposedly doing in their life by looking at Facebook and looking at all these things and constantly being on our phones and, you know, we have this, but we don't feel. And I feel like one of my purposes is to stir everybody. This girl came up to me after my show this weekend and could not stop crying. And she was on her first date and this guy had brought her. And she's like, I'm so sorry, but you explained everything I've been feeling lately and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, you know, and he was trying to help, like, become a part of it as well. And that's what I feel like each one of us has that ability. Yeah. You don't need a microphone. You don't need a guitar. You don't need songs.
No.
We can all connect to someone in that way. Do you know, when I go to restaurants, I think it's so important to ask your waiter or waitress's name.
Yeah, I agree fully.
Because all of a sudden they look up and they go, oh, you actually see me as a human being. You know,
I do that to cashiers. If I look at their name tag and I thank them by name, and they almost look shocked.
They do. They do. I did that to a cashier yesterday. I'm like, how are you doing? She's like, fine. She didn't look up. I go, no, really, how's your day? And she looked up at me and she was like, she couldn't talk.
Jill. Yeah.
She just couldn't talk. And I think that if everybody did that, they'd get out of their own stuff too. You kind of forget.
It's so true.
Yeah. You know, you forget
because
about
there's yourself. We're all connected in this. Mm-hmm. And love is a force and an energy. Mm-hmm. The same as hate is a force and energy.
Yes.
So which one are you? And what are you going to put forth? And when we do it, especially when we're most challenged or least feel like it, I always told my family, I go, you know, it's the right thing when it's the last thing you want to do or the last thing you feel like doing.
You bet. You bet. Because you immediately want to go to your hurt and almost revenge or, you know, victim or whatever you want to play. But if you do the opposite, I mean, I will say I have to give myself a minute or two to get my bearings because I got beat up really bad by someone that I thought loved me or something. And then all of a sudden they rip me to shreds and somehow I've got to figure out what to do with those feelings. But once you get your bearings and you realize that it doesn't feel good to hate, it doesn't feel good to do revenge, you don't grow from it. You actually regress. But if you love, all of a sudden you're like, oh man, this feels so much better.
So that's right. And you also take away the energy of the possibility of renewal and healing and growth and all of that when you succumb to those feelings. I always say, you know, God obviously gave me the ability to string words together. And at this point in my life, I take that step back where I know I could, when somebody attacks me unfairly or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. I know I have the capacity to string good words together, to come back, to say, but what is the point?
Right. We have 1 minute left. It always goes by way too dang fast with you, sister. But I would love if you could leave this show today with whatever is in your heart to the people that are listening for the new year coming. How's that?
Well, I would, no pressure there, Jill, in 60 seconds, but I do want to say that as we go into 2020, and I know this will become a catchphrase, obviously, because it's too obvious, 2020 is symbolic of perfect vision. And so I think that if we are to go into this opportunity of a new year with perfect vision, that we need to stop and reflect and look at ourselves. A mirror has a reflection, just like you talk about reflecting on our life. There's more value in a mirror than there is in a microscope. Take a look at yourself. Don't condemn yourself, but know that you're more and know that you have something to give, and start to focus on, in any way that you can, from the smallest way to the biggest way, and everything in between. Be the giver that you are. Be the light that you are, because you are and always will be more.
Oh, I love you. Oh, thank you so much for being on our show today. I just can't thank you enough for everything that I continually learn from you and try to emulate as well. So thanks.
Likewise, sister.
Thank you. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Take that. Be the light. Be the love. Go out there and do good.